Okay, so let's read the parable. Remember last week, I think it was last week, parable, there's one main, great main theme to a parable. So let's read the whole thing, and as I read it, see if you can find it. What's the one thing Jesus wants us to learn from this parable? Okay, so Matthew 25, verse 14, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. And 19, after a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought the 5 other talents, saying, 'Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I've gained 5 more talents beside them.' His Lord said to them, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You are faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord.' He also who had received 2 talents in 22, he came and said, 'Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I've gained 2 more talents besides them.' His Lord said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord.' 24, and when he had received 1 talent, came and said, 'Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you haven't sown and gathering where you haven't scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what's yours.' But his Lord answered and said to him, 'You wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I haven't sown and gather where I haven't scattered seed. You ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I received back 0.0001% interest.'" I added that, sorry. 28, "Therefore take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For everyone who has more will be given to him, and he will have abundance. But from him who doesn't have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Now's probably not the right time to ask. Can you see your Bibles okay? I always forget to turn. Can you turn the lights? Just push 25% on the left side of it. Now I'll kick it up. There we go. Is that bad? I'm sorry. I read all. Now let's read it again where you can read it. That ain't funny. Okay. Let's pray together. Lord, thanks for light that we can read your word. Lord, thanks for all the blessings you've given us, even the rain, as crazy as it is to think. Lord, we're thankful for how you provide everything we need in this world, including your Son who came to this world to die so that we might live. We want to live in this place right now, Lord. We want to live the abundant life as we receive everything you have for us through your Holy Spirit. Give us soft, supple hearts to receive. And you plant it deep inside of us, Lord. Give us wisdom, we ask, by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Remember, Jesus spoke this parable to his disciples in a sermon known as the Olivet Discourse, right? And there he instructed his disciples on what would be the sign of his coming and the end of the age. And so this sermon, which is Matthew 24 and 25, he gives us priceless revelation into what will be the moral and the spiritual and the physical condition of the world prior to the end of the age. And so remember, back up in your mind a couple Matthew 24, a couple weeks, spoke about birth pangs that are going to happen prior to the rapture of the church. He spoke about the significant events that are going to occur during the 3.5-year great tribulation period that immediately precedes his second coming. And he spoke about his glorious return. But as important as all that is for us to know, Jesus also goes on to say, well, here's how you ought to respond to all these things as they come. See, Jesus knows that as we read early parts of Matthew 24, and you hear all these things that he talks about, the signs of his coming and all that, a question's going to form in our hearts. Since that's the way the world's going to be, as you get closer to your return, you know, the destabilizing of society and the unraveling of things, then how am I supposed to live in the midst of all that? What can I do, Lord, to make a difference in this world when all this craziness is happening around me? And that's what Jesus has been going through at the end of 24 and all the way 25. I think he's answering that question that he knew we would have. And he summarizes it for us. I'm going to summarize it for him. But three great words. Remember what the words were? Watching, waiting, working. We're to be watching, we're to be waiting, and we're to be about his business. So watching and waiting for Jesus' return, according to Jesus, doesn't mean we're to sit in a recliner with a bag of popcorn, with the curtains open, watching the world go down the toilet, and thinking, well, one of these days, there it goes. While I mindlessly gaze up into heaven just waiting for him to come back. That's not it. This parable and other places that he's been talking about through this Olivet Discourse, he teaches our watching and our waiting is always to translate into actively being about the things of God on a daily basis. So what's the theme of this parable? It's that. Yeah, we're to be watching, and yeah, we're to be waiting, but we're also to be actively involved in what he's called us to do. So that's what we're going to talk about today as we walk our way through here. I'm going to say it probably a few times. It's all about how are you influencing your world? Your world. How are you are you influencing your world for Jesus? And then how are you influencing your world? Because he calls us to do that. So that's the point today. Thanks for coming, everybody. We'll see you next week. There it is, right? There it is. No, just kidding. 14. The man there, he travels to a far country. He represents Jesus. Far country represents heaven. And you know, following Jesus' death and burial and resurrection, he ascended into heaven after giving the promise that one of these days I'm coming back. So that's the setting. And this is a common occurrence, what we read in the beginning of this parable. It's a common occurrence in ancient time. So everybody knew what he was talking about. If a master was of the house was needed to go on a journey, go on some work trip or whatever it is, he would leave the stewardship of his things to a couple of his servants or a few of his servants. And then they would take care of those things while he was gone. And these servants understood something really important. They knew that what the master had given them was not theirs. They understood that. It's something that belongs to the master. It's a gift that's been given to me while he's gone. It's important. And each of these men, as you notice in 15, were given talents. Yodeling, you know, tap dancing, moonwalking. Man, I want to do that. Moonwalk, auctioneering. You ever watch an auctioneer really do his thing? It's remarkable. Elvis impersonations. That's what he's talking about here. No, that's not what he's talking about here. The word talent back then, it means a sum of money, typically silver or gold. And so if the talent was spoken of here was gold, it's the equivalent of 20 years' wages. So when this man gives his servant talents, it's a significant sum of money. It's 100 years of wages for the five-talent guy. It's 40 years of wages for the two-talent guy. It's 20 years of wages for the one-talent guy. Because we read this and we think, well, the guy that got one talent, he's kind of getting the short end of the stick here. Uh-uh. He's getting 20 years' wages. And notice, I think it's still in 15, that each of the servants are given talents according to their own ability. This master knows his servants well. He knows their strengths and their weaknesses. He knows what he can expect from them. So this decision to give five, two, or one isn't driven by this one's lazier than this one, or this one doesn't have the work ethic that one has, but by virtue really of the gene pool. You know, and our society's bucking up against that kind of thing in our world today. But the fact is, some people accomplish more in the same amount of time than someone else. You know, I worked in the engineering world for a while, and I really wanted to work hard, but there were guys who were better at that job than I was. In certain ways, they were just gifted in things. It's just the way it works. Listen, we all know that to be true, really. If you're not sure about that, watch Dave Vaughn and I work beside each other. That dude is a monster when he works. He's a machine. He gets things done. I'm still looking for my screwdriver, and he's done and moved on to something else. It really is true. There are people in our world who are more gifted to that, and this master understands that. So he gives to the guy who can handle five, he gives him the five. And I'm okay with that because the Lord knows us well, and he trusts us with giftings or stewardship. That's a perfect match with who he knows us to be. Everyone of us is different. He knows our abilities. And all he asks is to simply be faithful over what he has given us. So why is this important? Well, again, the main parable of the main point of this parable is serving the Lord while we watch and we wait for his return. And in the midst of that going on, as we serve the Lord, we're not to compare ourselves among ourselves to determine, am I fulfilling God's call in my life? See, if God's given you two talents or one talent, and you look at the person with the five, and you think, well, I can never be Billy Graham. I can never be Chuck Smith. I can't do that. And then you feel this condemnation over, well, I'm not really doing anything for Jesus. Well, that's not true at all. And the opposite is true too. You've been given five talents and you're around somebody who's been given one and you watch them work and you got the potential to slack out because you're thinking, well, I don't need to work that hard because all I got to do is that. I can do that in like 3 minutes. I can take a nap. I can just kick back. But the guy with the five talents doesn't realize he's being held to a different standard than the guy with the one. One's not better than another. God's just going to hold him accountable for what he has gifted him to do. That makes sense? That's important for us. Never compare ourselves among ourselves. Because all this is very individual. In fact, in the Corinthian church, Paul tells them, the Holy Spirit gives to us individually as he wills. And he's talking about there in terms of the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the calling that he has on our lives. So what we need to do is simply this. Lord, what have you called me to do to glorify you in this world? And then give ourselves fully to that. Completely to that. And if each one of us takes our place and God's plan for the advancement of the kingdom, we've made a difference. And we're going to hear the words we heard at the end of this. Well done, thy good and faithful. You are not Billy Graham, loser. Go sit down. He's never going to say that to me. I'm not Billy Graham. I know what I'm called to do, and I know what I'm called to be. And I just want to simply walk in that. It's so freeing, isn't it? It's so freeing. So what's this talent or stewardship look like to us spiritually as Christian people? Well, it could be possibly a position of leadership in the local church, calling as an evangelist or a missionary or a home group leader or children's ministry leader or maybe an elder at a church. It could be a spiritual gift that God has given to you. In the reality, this what he's talking about here, this talent, this stewardship, it could be about anything. It could be a vocation. You could be a school board member, a coach of a team. You could be a calling to be a parent or a grandparent. And God puts us in a specific place in order for us to be an influencer there for him. And God places us there with the same amount of concern as he places the guy he sends to Africa or the Philippines. Isn't that wonderful? Listen, quite possibly, the calling as a parent or a grandparent is the greatest calling of all. What a privilege to influence your children and their friends and your grandchildren for Jesus. So the grandkids are over for the night, and they're getting ready for bed. you know, and they brush their teeth, they do all that stuff, and they go in, they lay down, and you're going to go in and help get them to bed, and you tell them a story. Are you going to tell them a Dr. Seuss, or a Dr. Seuss story? Or are you going to open your Bible and read David in the Lion's Den? Or Lazarus being raised from the dead? You know, they think of the wonderful stories of the Bible that those kids have maybe never heard in their life. And there you are beside their bed getting all excited about, man, Dan, was it Daniel in the Lion's Den? Did I say that wrong? You guys didn't read your Bibles at David? No, he did. It was Daniel. I guess I need to go back and read it. I need grandkids. Where are my kids? Just kidding. What a privilege. There you are in that bedroom, just you and those grandkids. And you're reading them Bible stories. They've probably maybe never heard a Bible story before. And there you are fulfilling your calling, being an influencer for Jesus. And you're planting seeds inside the heart of a one-year-old and a two-year-old. At that point, you're walking in your talent. Same thing if you run a business. Or if you're a salesman or you're in the medical profession. A lot of times we think, well, those are just secular, unspiritual jobs. Uh-uh. God's placed you there for kingdom purposes. So walk in it. Influence those people for Christ. And when Jesus comes back, he'll find you not only watching and waiting, he'll find you working. And that's what he's talking about here. So the point is simply this. Let's be engaged in the advancement of the kingdom of God in some way. And some would wonder, well, I don't even know what God's called me to do. I have no idea. You know, I can't answer that for you practically. I can't. But the good news is the Lord wants to give you wisdom related to that. And as you seek his face and as you seek his heart, as you intimately walk with him, we know God will unveil that to you. He'll reveal that to you. No Christian should ever, ever be in a workless condition. We need to actively be engaged in what God's called us to do for his kingdom in this world. And then, when Jesus returns, we'll find each one of us actively watching, waiting, and working. So here's the parable. We'll pretty much buzz through the parable. Notice, let's pick it up at 16, okay? So the master gives these guys their talents. He leaves, goes on his journey, which speaks of Jesus' ascension into heaven. And in 16, on to 18, the two guys, the guy with the five and the guy with the two, they go out and they do their thing. You know, they put their money into circulation. But 18, the guy who had the one, he hid his money. He dug in the hole in the ground. So the master comes back in 19 on, and the first two guys, in essence, say, you know, we realize that the talents you gave us really didn't belong to us. This money really wasn't ours. And we knew that what you gave to us was be utilized for the advancement of you, your kingdom purposes, Matt, to their physical master. In our case, it would be for Jesus. But notice in 21 and 23, notice the master didn't commend them for being a good and talented servant, a good and intellectual servant. See what how he commended them? You're a good and faithful servant. Imagine hearing those words from the Lord. 21 and 23. Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. No human life can ever be considered successful if they don't hear those words from God. Everything in our Christian lives will be determined at that moment in time when each of us stand individually before the Lord at the Bema seat of Christ. The Apostle Paul wrote about the Bema seat of Christ in various places. Here's three of them. 2 Corinthians 5:10, 1 Corinthians 3:13, Romans 14:12. If you're a note taker, you may want to go back. 2 Corinthians 5:10, 1 Corinthians 3:13, Romans 14:12. This isn't the great white throne judgment where people judge for their sin and the rejection of Christ. No Christian will stand before the great white throne judgment. This he's talking about here is the Bema seat judgment. It's also called the rewards seat of Christ. Every Christian will stand before the Lord there. And it won't be a group picture. Each of us individually will give an accounting to the Lord for our faithfulness to the calling and to the gifting that he's placed upon our lives. And at that moment in time, all that's going to matter, all that's going to matter is hearing those words right there. Well done. And I have it memorized, King James. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Those words will be what determines the success of our Christian lives. Were we influencers for the kingdom of God with the talents and the abilities and the giftings that he's given to us? That's the question. That's what he's asking here. Now, in contrast to those first two servants and their faithfulness, notice 24, that's the dude who took the one talent. Notice what he says, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man. He doesn't know his master well. I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you haven't sown, gathering all that. And then he goes, and then 25, I was afraid. And I went and I hid your talent in the ground. Look, there it is, it's back. This guy is full of excuses for why he didn't put his talent into circulation. And he received the stewardship, but he did absolutely nothing with it. It appears to me, as I read through this, that if this guy's main excuse is the sovereignty of God, God, you're so awesome. You're so powerful. You're totally in control of everything. You're going to do whatever you want to do. What's the matter what I do? And we can fall into that if we're not careful. Lord, you're going to bless who you want to bless. You're going to save who you want to save. You're going to do whatever you want to do. I understand that. And so my role in this is nothing. I'm just going to sit over here on the couch for a while. But the Lord's going to rebuke this guy for having that attitude. We're never to use the sovereignty of God as an excuse for not doing what God has called us to do. Of course, God could do things without us, infinitely better. But he's chosen to accomplish his purposes in this world through his kids. And we're to be faithful to what he asks of us. So this guy, I think, hides behind his excuse. But Jesus, he isn't in the mood for excuses. But the other thing I wanted to point out in 25, notice he talks about being afraid. That's why he hid the talent in the ground. Could it be the reason for this was because he really didn't know the character of his master? And I think that gets people in trouble today. Some people are afraid of God, and to me, it's because they have no idea who God really is deep down. They've never really had a living encounter with God. They've never really grown in their faith. Because when you really have an encounter with Jesus, and you fall in love with him, and you learn the character of God, there'll be no fear. Scaredy cat kind of fear. There'll be reverence, but there won't be that scaredy cat fear. And from that, man, you'll serve him gladly. We'll serve him gladly because we know who he is. I don't think this guy knew his master well. That's why he says all that. Notice the response in 26. The Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant. I don't want to hear those words from Jesus at all. And I think I understand the lazy part, but wicked? Because we tend to reserve the word wicked for way out there stuff, you know? Worst of the worst stuff. But here the master calls this servant wicked. So what's he talking about? I think this. It's wicked, wicked for any Christian to hear the gospel, be born again, and then choose to not advance it, but instead just sit on it. Think of all the people throughout the ages who've been faithful to advance the gospel of Christ in our world so that you and I could hear it. Think about that for a second. And if we cause the advancement of Christ to stop because of our unwillingness to move it forward, it's pure wickedness. Yeah, my grandkids are over, and I'm just not going to tell reading Bible story to them. I'm just going to read Dr. Seuss or whatever all that craziness is. Jesus says, you know what? You missed an opportunity to walk in your gifting right there, in your calling right there. You chose. So this is not only a lazy servant, this is a wicked servant. You know, I've been thinking about it a little bit this week. For me, when I was exposed to, like, just meeting Jesus and starting to walk with Jesus, and I began to realize that I could understand the Bible. It was a revelation to me that the Bible was meant to be understood. Of course, it took the Holy Spirit coming into my life for that to happen. But as that's happening for me, I began to realize I have a connection with the body of Christ, because that dude talking right now, he is influencing me. And I wonder and I pray about the guy who influenced him and the guy who influenced him. There's been a long line of people that's brought me to this place. And I thought, you know, about my mom and my dad. I thought about my grandparents, especially my dad's side, strong Christian people. And I realized I'm a debtor to so many people because of their faithfulness to the Lord and their willingness to be an influence for Christ in this world. I'm a Christian, and I have the capacity by the power of the Holy Spirit to understand the Word of God. And I could not imagine all of that stopping in its tracks because I was unwilling to be an influencer myself. I so desire to step into my role, my little place in history, to further the gospel of Christ in this world. Listen, according to the Bible, there's no such thing as a serviceless Christianity. It does not exist. You know, I told you, I was able to go to the game yesterday. There were, I don't know how many IU sits, 60,000-ish, and it was packed at pregame. We were in the 10th row at halftime because all the IU people left, which was great. I don't feel bad about it. I just don't. You could become a Buckeye and be one of us, Isaiah. You could do it. Let's talk after. So I'm sitting there in that game, having a blast, and 60,000 people around me, all watching 22 play on the field. And that's what a lot of people do in the Christian world. They're sitting in the stands. They're watching 22 people walk out their gifting and their calling. And they may cheer. They may say, go, man, go. But they're not engaged themselves. Christianity isn't a spectator sport. Each of us needs to be engaged in the work that God has called us to do for His glory. And I think it's important for let that search our hearts this morning. Hopefully to encourage you to step out into your gifting, into your calling. Be an influencer for Jesus. And the Lord will be blessed when He comes back to take you home. So the last little bit then, 27. The third guy asked, why he didn't put the one talent into the circulation. And again, you know, you ought to at least put it in the bank. And then 28 and 29, in essence, the master says, give the talent to someone who will use it obediently. Sounds harsh, doesn't it? But he says, give that talent to somebody who's going to use it for my glory. And in the spiritual realm, it's like the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. And when we use what God has given to us, He gives us more. Listen, God wants us to be a pipe, not a tank. Blessings flow into us, but they're not to stop there. Through us, so that we can be a blessing to others. Now, the last verse there has caused a lot of people to get all wonky over this. It is a challenging verse, 30. Cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness, there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And some people say, well, this guy couldn't have been a true disciple, or else he wouldn't have been cast into outer darkness. Okay, yeah. Others would say, well, wait a minute, this guy's a servant of the master. He was given a stewardship. And they would say, well, that means this guy was a follower. You know, you're going to have to study this yourself, make up your own mind. Because candidly, I'm not exactly sure what it means. It's a parable. So we need to be careful making theology out of it. And I understand the main message of the parable, preparedness. Be found working when the Lord returns. So I'm hesitant to press things too hard. Remember last week we talked about parables. We got to find the one main thing. Be careful we don't make big things out of little things. So we got to be careful with pressing that one verse too hard, especially into something that would bring into question a doctrine that's very clear in Scripture. Salvation is based on faith, not works. So I can't say that I can give you that much clarity on it. God will give it to you. But I know this, whatever this is, I don't want to be this guy. I do know that. And I, through the parable, I get a sense of how I can keep from being this guy. Just walk in what God's called me to do today. Today. So, we're to be ready for Jesus' return, watching, waiting, working. What a great privilege we have to walk in the gifting of the calling of Jesus. And if you've been about that in your life, keep going. God bless you. Keep going. Full speed ahead. Run to the tape. And if you sit here this morning or you're listening to me this morning, and you know, for a long time I've just been a pew potato. And maybe this parable could be an encouragement to you that you begin to pray, Lord, I want to know what you've called me to do for your glory in this world. And I want to be about those things, God. And I want to be have my eyes open to the opportunities that you're presenting to me so that I can walk in my gifting, so I can walk in my calling. You know, I love athletics. I've been involved with athletics my whole life. And I'd coach if I could have the time for it, so that's why I ref. But I love being an influencer on the ball court. Even as a ref, I can be an influencer. And I do some gyms where I know some of the kids, and, you know, some kids melt down over different things. And I always look for opportunities. You can't do it in the moment because it's just too, but at some point, just walk up beside them, sit down, just love on them, just encouraging them. I'm trying to walk in my gifting. I'm not a great ref, but I look. Well, that's Keith who made it worse because we ref together. But I love Jesus, and I know that he allows me to be on that basketball court for his purposes. Yeah, I don't like getting yelled at. Don't yell at me. Stop. But I know, you know. Mrs. Shelton coaches. She's coached for years. What an influencer she is for Jesus as she's helping them be better basketball players. But Dale's that way and Tracy's that way. All of us have that place. My question is, are you walking in it? Walk in it through the powering of the Holy Spirit. Do it. It's a heavy thing to know Jesus. And there are responsibilities associated with it. It really means something to one day say to the Lord and mean it, Lord, my life is yours. I'll do whatever you ask of me. You want me to love on that kid? I'm loving on him. My grandkids are coming over this weekend. Woohoo! I'm going to read David in the Lion's Den. Okay, don't do that. So, the exhortation from this parable, right? Remember? Let's be watching. Let's be waiting. But let's be busy about his business today, this week, for the glory of God. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this encouragement to us. It's strong. It's heavy. But Lord, it's born out of a heart of love because you want us to be involved in your things. And we're excited about heaven. We are, Lord. You can come back today. That'd be great. But until you choose to come, Lord, help us to be about your business, Lord. Be an influencer for you, whatever that looks like. And help us to not look around and wonder, well, why can't I and why am I not able to do that? And Lord, I just want to be who you've called me to be. And I pray that would free us all. Just go love. Let's be about that this week, Lord. For your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.